And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. We're live here at Bridgestone Arena. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick alongside. Chase McCabe is off today and tomorrow. He'll be back with us on Monday. And got to be honest, it's a little bit of a sad day. Willie, do you have any idea what I mean by that? I haven't even told you what I'm talking about. When I say that, what comes to mind?
Well, my mindset, I've got my Mets hat on today. It's opening day. The Mets aren't playing, but we've waited a long time to have opening day of Major League Baseball, mm-hmm. So I am excited about that. So yep. you've rained on my parade.
Yeah, no, it's not that. It's not baseball. It has nothing to do with baseball because we'll get to that. That's something good.
Okay.
So this is why would this be sad?
I don't know. I mean, the Predators are scrimmaging today. We've waited
like,
a long time for all this
sad?
Stuff, so why are you so sad? You're
at Bridgestone Arena. Right. We're going to watch it. Yesterday was great, the inter-squad scrimmage. How can this be a sad day?
Come on.
It's the last day. This is it. Man, this is it. This is the last show we're doing from Bridgestone Arena, and then they go to Edmonton this weekend. And that's
don't
it.
Don't be sad about that. You've enjoyed getting out of your house, is what you're
well,
saying.
Well, I'm just saying it's sad. Like, this is it. We know we will not do another broadcast. Like, during the playoffs, we don't go, hey, this is sad. This is our last show. We're like, hey, this is great. Playoffs, man. This is going to be awesome. We're going to give you all kinds of great coverage. We'll be here for home games. We'll be on the road with the team. No, that's not going to happen. None of that's going to happen. That exhibition game, that qualifying round, and hopefully a lot more after that, you know, we'll be in Nashville. They'll be in their hub city. I'm just saying it's just weird to know they're going away and they're not coming back until it's over, right? I mean, there's no precedent. There's nothing that we can relate this to know that your sports team leaves to go to the playoffs and they're not coming home until they're done. Right?
Yeah.
It's just weird to say that and think that, but that is the case. So this will be it because they're off tomorrow. They'll have a practice on Saturday, and then they leave for Edmonton. And like I said, that's it.
That's it.
They go to Edmonton, and they will stay there until finality. And hopefully the finality is – hopefully they'll be at Edmonton for a long time.
Let's hope they're there for a long time.
Yeah.
The longer, the better.
So that was the sad part.
Well, I'm not sad. I'm choosing to turn the frown upside down, Darren. I am in the flow. You know, I have to say, you know, you go through that period and you're just trying to cope. You know.
By the way, I've got to turn my headset down because yesterday it was loud because they were pretending like it was a game.
Oh yeah.
So we had to turn the volume up because they're playing music and Paul McCann and Crazy Kyle. So okay, continue.
Well, you know, you just find ways to cope with all of those days where we didn't have any games to report on and we were trying to get creative with how we're doing our shows. And you know, it was funny. I saw a tweet from Kenny Albert. He tweeted a picture of his briefcase, and he said, I have not opened this briefcase since I came home from whatever city he was in on March the 12th. We all came home from wherever we were. In our case, it was Toronto. I had the same thing. Like, I don't think I had looked into my backpack where I keep all my notes and charts and everything for a game. It just was off on the shelf, and it was just secluded, secured. And it took me a while to crack it back open. Even when they started practicing, it was like, is this for real? Are we doing this? And then after like a day or two of being here and seeing the guys skating, all of a sudden I'm like, all right, let's look at the stats from – where things were when we held up. Let's look at the Coyotes lineup, you know. And so all of a sudden, it starts flowing, and now we're flowing. You know, I think everybody, if it's any indication, and I feel like in our listenership, we're getting really good feedback from the Predator fans that, you know, Predator fans rely on us when it comes to radio coverage. They know this is where to go, where you're going to get info with the real insights, all of the people involved. On the Predators website, we've done these things where they've just been sort of a live look in at practice or the scrimmage yesterday. The first one we did with Hal, there were 18,000 people that checked in on that.
Wow.
18,000.
Wow.
So it's flowing back, the interest, and it's like people are realizing not only is it back, but these are the biggest games.
Right.
You know, these are huge games. Now it's going to seem like a long time between now and August 2nd, I think.
Really?
I think so.
Well, I think, you know.
It's like I feel like games, like
with Major League Baseball starting up today.
Well, that'll certainly give us something.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Yankees, Nationals, that's the first pitch of any game. That'll be the only game. And then you'll have Giants, Dodgers, and the nightcap. That's the two games today. With other sports starting back, MLB and the NBA, don't you think that'll help speed it up? Help
get to the
start line a little bit quicker?
I have a group of people that I've been in a National League only fantasy baseball auction type of league. So it is hardcore. We were crazy enough to do the.
Oh, so you're doing it.
We did the draft before it all paused.
Oh.
We went ahead with the draft right after the pause, like before even everything came to a standstill.
Wow.
I mean, we were right in under the wire before it was like, no, you can't even go out. Like the real shutdown where it was like safe at home kind of stuff. So we got that in, not knowing when the games were going to be played. And so now all of a sudden, it's go time with that. And you talk about tough decisions to be made for a fantasy team in a 60-game season. Like, fourth, fifth starters? Like, I'll give you an example. Kyle Wright, Vanderbilt, first-round pick, fifth pick overall. Cole Hamels is out for a while. 60-game season. If you're out for 2 or 3 weeks, that's almost half the season.
Yep.
What role will Kyle Wright have? Can he stick? Can he get off to a good start? I think he's going to start one of the first games.
They're going to give him a chance.
They're going to give him a chance. What does he do with that chance? If he pitches bad, do they stay with him? If he pitches great, can he have two great months of, you know, breakout? There's so many ways it can go, right?
Well, the good news for him is the two veterans that they brought in that were going to take up spots probably are not with him.
Not with him.
You know, one's completely out, and the other in Felix Hernandez, and the other is, like you said, hurt in Cole Hamels.
Yep. And they have plenty of other guys who, you know, are really good pitching prospects, but they may not be ready yet. But and then there's the other thing is, you know, will they use them for 3 or 4 innings and then use 5 relievers? Some of these teams are going to carry 16 pitchers. 16 pitchers. You're sitting in the bullpen. Okay, McFarland, get up, warm up. Are you sure? yes, get up. And Donick, why don't you start throwing too? Let's have a lefty and righty. Hey, we got 16 pitchers. You might as well be ready. I mean, who knows when you're going to get into the game? We know this. You got to face 3 batters if you go in there.
That is true. You still have
it's
to get.
It's going to be nuts.
You do have to face 3 batters for people who don't know the rule.
Like, yeah, unless you end the inning. Like you can get the third out of an inning and then you're off the hook.
Yeah. But there's no more situational.
Yeah, you can't just come in lefty to face a lefty. Yeah.
Nope. Those days are gone, which is good. I like that, personally.
I don't.
I know.
I don't like it.
I'm not surprised by that. But we do have Major League Baseball starting tonight. And by the way, you can hear Yankees and Nationals right here on 102.5 The Game.
All right, why not?
How cool is that?
Well, it's a heck of a pitching matchup.
You think?
Two of the best pitchers in the game.
Gerrit Cole and Max Scherzer. I mean, hello.
That's as good as it gets.
I'm going to go with low scoring. Although, do you really know?
I don't.
What these games are going to look like early on?
You don't know.
Right? I mean, traditionally you would say, right, the start of a season, pitchers are ahead of the batters, and then eventually the batters catch up to the hitters, right? Maybe you lower scoring games early on until everybody gets in a groove and gets going. And then the batters catch up and offenses catch up. But in this case, I don't have any clue. I guess you just stay to form. I guess that's the way it'll be.
I guess
it'll be low scoring.
I see most predictions of the Yankees winning over 40 games in the shortened season, which would be, you know, if you win over 40 games, that's winning well over 100 games in the regular season. So it's weird how people are doing predictions. We might have to do some predictions. You think it's hard to predict what's going to happen tonight? Try to predict some of these teams for 60 games. If you go 32-28, there might be 6 teams that go 32-28. By the way, Are you for, I have to say, I'm for it this year. I hope, I don't think I'm for it down the road. But they're still negotiating a deal. They have until, the first pitch tonight to expand the postseason.
Isn't it so baseball? That it's like, you know what? Hey.
Hey, well, by the way.
Let's talk about this real quick. Real quick. Hurry up. We got it. Oh, Garrett Cole's up warming up. Hey, let's talk about it real quick.
We have a
Raise
deal?
Your hand. Raise
we
your hand.
Deal?
Raise your hand. Yeah. I mean, it's so Major League Baseball. Yeah. Really? Like, you're talking about this now. You had all month. We thought you were going to be starting July 4th. You had all month to figure this out.
They couldn't have talked about this last week.
Right. Like, why are you talking about this now?
I have no
idea. So tell everybody what you're talking about.
Okay, well, they talked about this before, you know, while all of the mudslinging was going on, and they were actually trying to get an agreement. They couldn't agree on what they agreed on in March, and they had all the mess that has prevented them from starting before now. They should have started July 4th. They should have. That's when it should have started. But they were talking about it then. They couldn't agree on it. Part of what was offered was an expanded postseason, which would mean more money, more games on TV, so more revenue generated, and it would be divvied up. The players would get part of the pool. They couldn't agree on it, so they just, as we know, put the 60-game season in there. But now that that's settled, they have rekindled that discussion where instead of having the regular playoff format where you have the three division winners and two wild cards, they would expand it to 16 total teams. So you would have, instead of two wild cards, you would have four wild cards. And you would have a funky way of doing the playoffs. But they have until the beginning of the season to get this done.
Which is tonight.
So I guess they had talked about this in principle before. So they know what the format would be. But you would go from 10 teams making it to 16. Which, in a season like this, I say, well, what the heck? You know, why not? Even though I'm a purist, I long-term am not for it. I don't think – you have 162 games. If you can't make it in 162 games, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
Well, you might not be saying 162 anymore. There's a real shot of that.
Oh, I don't think so. They're not going to come off of that. Maybe 154, but I'd stick with –
I didn't ask what you would stick with. I know what you would stick with. I'm saying I think there's a real shot. We're not saying 162 anymore.
Now, this came out in the winter, though, is there would be a scenario in here where you'd have four wild cards and then there was like – the top team gets a bye, and then other teams get to pick who they want to play like they do in soccer. There was some crazy stuff thrown out
That's
there.
A dangerous game.
It's a dangerous game. Do you like that?
Well, I don't like picking. I can just tell you right now because you just instantly gave the team you picked
of course.
Motivation. I mean, that's like
we want the Yankees.
You just gave a team bulletin board material by just picking them. I mean, I don't like that at all.
But that's what has been proposed before. I don't know if that's what they would go with here. I guess that's what they're talking about.
All right, so
we'll see how it turns out. Maybe during the show today they'll say 16 team postseason.
We'll come back and head to Chattanooga. Stephen Hargis covers the TSSAA high school football scene. What is it going to look like this fall? We're going to talk to him. He's with the Chattanooga Times. Free press. We do that on the other side. Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Back here on Darren Donica and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. We are live here at Bridgestone Arena. Not Zambonis, just singular. A Zamboni is out cleaning the ice. Predators will be on the ice in about an hour and a half getting ready.
And by the way, that's a real Zamboni. That's not a sound of a Zamboni.
Oh, okay. I was like, what do you mean?
Well, because, you know, when you're watching the Major League Baseball, there's been all this discussion. So I have concluded this in watching pieces of different games that they show. Some parks are better than others at putting the background noise in there.
Pumping in stuff.
Pumping it in. Yeah. I am for it, but there are times where they're a little late on the trigger and there's like this delay. A guy makes a catch in center field and it's like 1001. 2002, and then all of a sudden you hear the crowd. It's like, buddy, pay attention up there. So time that a little bit better.
If you can hear the Zamboni in the background, yes, I'll clarify. It's real.
It's a real Zamboni.
We're not pumping that into the broadcast.
Yeah.
That's an actual Zamboni.
Like yesterday,
Zamboni on the
ice. If you heard Paul McCann, Paul was not here. Paul was not actually doing the PA. He was recorded, but we had the sounds of Paul McCann and the sounds of Crazy Kyle. Kyle was not sitting at the organ.
Let's find out what they're going to be pumping in a high school football game.
Well, that remains to be seen, but that's why we have our next guest.
Yep. Stephen Hargis is on the line with us, Chattanooga Times Free Press. He covers high school football, high school sports, and has been tweeting a lot of stuff about what the TSSAA is going to do about this upcoming fall season. Stephen, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for doing this. Let's just get everybody caught, get us caught up to speed, get our listeners caught up to speed. As we sit here on, what is today, July 23rd, where are we in all of this?
We at least now we have a plan now from yesterday's Board of Control meeting. They handed out a plan where coaches know that at worst case scenario, there would at least be 8-game season that would begin in September, mid-September. And would have, you know, a smaller playoff pool, but we would at least have a season. But it's a plan that they voted in that's flexible enough that if and when the governor were to exempt the TSSAA, as he did in-state colleges and professional teams, then the season could begin much sooner, possibly even as regularly scheduled, which would mean, you know, teams could get ready for an August the 21st kickoff. But all that now depends on if and when the governor actually exempts the TSSAA from his state of emergency plan.
The biggest problem the NCAA has at this point is Mark Emmert has no control. They don't have a leader in place. They don't have someone that can tell everybody to be uniform and get on the same page. So we may have a college football season where one conference is playing 9 games, another conference is playing 10 games, this conference is playing 8 games, they're playing 11, which, you know, I don't know how that's going to play out, how that would affect if you're having a playoffs. So how about the TSSAA? Do they have the ability to get everybody on the same page with playing the same number of games? How is that going to work?
Well, what they can do, they can give you the plan that teams can follow. Now, it's still going to be up to certain individual school systems if they were to shut down or say that they've got a spike or something like that where they're closed sports. But if that were to happen, unless it's statewide, then that specific school system would kind of be on an island on its own, because what the TSSAA is given is like broad strokes rules that would accommodate everyone to play the same number of games, provided that you're allowed to in your individual school system. They've set it up where everyone has the same number of weeks to work with, you know, to put together the same number of games. Where the playoff system would be the same for each classification. I mean, everything would work the same, but then ultimately it does come down to the individual school systems that, you know, God forbid if you were to have a COVID-19 outbreak in a certain area and you had to shut down school or a program for a bit, the show would still go on without that school system that had to sit it out. But, that's the great thing is everyone's kind of working under the same umbrella.
I live in Rutherford County, and they're kind of going back and forth, and it seems like right now where they are today is you can sign up for the semester or the fall to be in school or virtual. And like I said, they keep pulling things back, but let's just go with that. The kids, a lot of places are going to have the ability to be at school or do things virtual. If you're doing things virtually and that's your family's choice and you are an athlete, how does that work, Stephen?
Yeah,
are you going to have the ability to play?
Yeah, absolutely. They spoke about that yesterday, that if kids are, as far as they're concerned, people are what's concerned, if a kid is enrolled in the school system, they are then eligible to play. So if your school system allows only virtual classes in your neighboring county, allows for kids to actually be in the school building, those kids are seen as the same, essentially, because they're both registered and attending classes within their school. So, yeah, they would be able to play.
So how do you think, as we sit here in late July, honestly, and I know this is a loaded question, none of us have any answers. We've learned it's fluid, it's day to day, week to week. But sitting here today, what do you have a concern about moving forward, and what do you feel good about moving forward from all the information you've gathered?
Feel good about the fact that now there's at least a plan. I mean, lots of coaches were really frustrated that they didn't know what to tell their players, their parents, you know, as far as when padded practice would begin, when the season would begin. Now they can at least, you know, explain to that group, okay, here's the plan. We don't know exactly if we're going to start the season because we haven't heard from the governor's office yet. But, you know, at worst case scenario, as I mentioned earlier, we know we're going to start games in September. So we can start moving forward toward that. And if we get to go out sooner, then great. That's something to feel good about, is that there's at least a plan now, and it looks like we're moving forward. If things stay the same or hopefully get better, that we're going to have a season. And I think all of us that went through the spring where you saw, you know, your hearts went out to, especially the seniors, but all the spring sport kids who had their seasons taken away, and, of course, the basketball teams who their season was ended right as the state tournaments were about to begin, that's a really tough thing to swallow for those kids. You don't want to see that again, you know, especially the number of kids that play football and just how important it is to so many communities. You feel good about the fact that now those kids are hopeful that they're going to have a season. Things that would concern you really are, you know, just the uncertainty, as you mentioned, just not knowing enough about this virus to know, you know, if there's going to be another, you know, hot spots or you know, outbreaks that kind of cause spikes to go up in certain areas that would cause you to have to pause the season. You know, potentially after it gets going, if the numbers were to rise or things like that. I mean, those are things that you certainly worry about. It's just the big unknown that's out there is probably the biggest concern.
Talking to Stephen Hargis, he covers high school football for the Times Free Press, if I can say this right, Times Free Press out of Chattanooga. Stephen, so when do you expect Governor Lee to make his decision on whether the season could start on time?
That's a great question. I don't think anybody really outside of his office knows that. You know, in speaking with some of the PAA folks, they said they've not been given an indication that it's coming anytime soon. It could come, you know, at any time, or it may not come at all. They've not been given any indication as far as the timeline for when it might happen. So you know, basically that was why they passed the ruling that they did yesterday that gives us some flexibility to say, okay, you know, if we don't get this exemption, then at worst, we're going to start our season. It's going to kick off in September the 18th. If we do get it, then we've got kind of a sliding scale that we can work with as a timeline for whenever the governor does give this exemption. So they've kind of covered all their bases there, but they've really been given no indication that I know of as far as if he's going to or when he might.
Do they have to? I mean, we were kicking this around yesterday. Have they? I don't think they've made a definitive decision on schools in general, right? So you would feel like they've got to have a little bit better feel for where everybody is on actually starting school before he would make a decision like that.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, I think you're kind of putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
There. I think, you know, there needs to be some kind of statewide ruling for schools and you know, when they would start and their plans for, and then you go, you know, sports would be secondary after that.
I'm guessing, though, we've read reports. I think California is one that's already made the decision to push the fall sports into the spring. I'm guessing that's not on the table right now for Tennessee.
No, it's not. It would be one of those, you know, last case scenarios if we were to have something happen where the numbers go in the wrong direction and everything gets, you know, starts to close back up, and it pushed school or you know, sports back a few months where it looked like you wouldn't be able to get them in time this fall, then you'd have to look at that as kind of a last-ditch effort to get them in. But I think they really want to avoid that at all costs if they can, just because then, you know, some people have argued that go ahead and just move it to the spring because it gives you more time. Well, it also causes, you know, kids who are multi-sport athletes, now they're going to have to choose, am I going to play football, basketball, or baseball? You know, if you can push everything back,
that's tough.
To a spring start.
Good point.
Or to have the choice of, you know, am I going to play one sport and then run right into the other one when the season's already picked up? I mean, it's just you've already had kids who lost their spring, you know, this past spring, who lost the chance to play spring sports. You don't want to take away the opportunity to make that up this year. You'd much rather give as much of a chance as possible, you know, if there's any chance at all to play the fall sports on their timeline and then, you know, spring sports on their timeline so that these kids can have as much a sense of normalcy in their athletic career as possible.
Willie brought up California. I know Florida is moving forward with the fall, but what about, you're down in Chattanooga, so how about a couple of states that are joining to Tennessee, that right there on the border? So how about Georgia and Alabama? Do you know exactly what their plans are in those states for the fall? Are they moving forward?
Georgia moving forward is actually, they're going to allow practice to go off as normal. I mean, they're on a normal timeline for practice. They did push the start of the regular season back 2 weeks to kind of give them a little bit of a little more time there to evaluate some things. But teams are going to start practicing next week. You know, they're getting ready to go out in pads, get ready for the season, and then their season would start 2 weeks later than normal. Alabama's moving full speed ahead. There's no changes to their schedule whatsoever. I mean, they're going out to padded practice next week. They're set to kick their season off August the 20th and the 21st, that Thursday and Friday night. They're going to have a lot of games there. You know, we border both those states, and that was one of the big concerns in our area was, before there was the plan that came out yesterday, there were quite a few coaches who were concerned that they had kids, families coming to them saying, look, if we don't know something soon, we're gonna transfer to Georgia because we know when their season is going to be played. We don't know anything about Tennessee. So there were probably 12 or 15 coaches that I'd spoken to who were worried about losing athletes into Georgia. So that was the great thing about at least now they can go back and give some guidance as far as what Tennessee's plan is going to be. But the states that border us closest down here really are much closer to going off or planning to go off, you know, business as usual. They're using their original schedule.
Steven, you kind of led me into the next question. I think I know the answer, but is it fair to say that an overwhelming majority of schools, leaders, would like to play? If they get the green light to play, they're going to play. How much pushback are there from maybe some people that are a little bit more on the cautious side or listening to the health experts that are saying, hey, this really isn't a good idea? How would you weigh that?
I would agree that the majority of the people that I've spoken to, you know, especially administrators, feel like, you know, if they're in school, they should also play sports because, you know, a couple of principals that I spoke to in the last few days, you know, mentioned how much better the school year goes when you have particularly football. You know, academics, everyone's academics are better. There's fewer discipline problems, things like that. It bleeds into every aspect of school life. So they want to have sports back because it's just a better feeling. Also, you know, another area to look at is a lot of in the smaller communities, especially, you know, the mom and pop restaurants really thrive during football season. When they have a home game, their restaurants are packed and things like that. So, you know, it kind of affects the overall community, not just the school. But for the most part, I've heard nothing but just positives. Now, there are lots of people who, you know, want to pump the brakes and say, let's, you know, not sure if we're even going to have a season, that type of thing. The way I look at it, I'm more the eternal optimist. If we're in school, you know, we should certainly try to find a way to play sports because it's such a huge part of kids' lives and such a positive, you know, in terms of it helps them academically and you know, discipline and things like that are much better when they're playing. So for the most part, from what I've heard, no real, you know, what I would say negatives, just more people who are maybe cautious. But for the most part, everyone really wants to return to the playing field.
Yeah, Steven, I try to check myself, you know, pump my own brakes, to use the term that you did. Because my enthusiasm, I have a daughter that is a soccer player, and I want to see her have her senior year. She lost her junior year of lacrosse last spring, and so we want to play, right? The enthusiasm. And then, as you kind of hinted at, there's all these economic levels and reasons for the TSSAA itself and all the surrounding businesses and the small towns that really thrive when the season is in. And so I just hope those don't cloud the health issues that we have to make sure that we're going through. You know what I mean? I mean, this is, we all want the same thing, but we got to be careful about it.
And that's one of the reasons, you know, People's Play didn't just approve the plan to begin the season. They also set out, you know, 12 steps, regulations that, you know, as far as the return to play for all sports, not just football, for all sports, as far as, you know, reminding people to social distance, asking schools to require, you know, fans to wear face coverings, you know, masks at games, limit the number of people who are allowed through the gates. You're not, you know, discouraging them from having a full house for any big game, things like that. I mean, they had 12 steps that really, you know, were well thought out to try to keep everyone safe, and not just, you know, the athletes, the families, everyone around them that would be there for watching those games. You know, obviously there would be temperature checks daily for the athletes coming into practice, temperature checks for the athletes and coaches, fans coming in for the games, so that, you know, they've really got a plan to try to keep everyone as healthy as possible and yet still have the games. So that was, you know, kind of hats off to them for some forward thinking there, and not just turning people loose to go practice and play the games, but also trying to find ways to keep everyone safe as well.
I think that would be a huge part of the equation. Steven, while we're at it, did they announce anything on girls soccer? I know that they're sort of in lockstep with football in terms of, because it's a contact sport, more or less, a different kind of contact, but I know they were delayed in a similar fashion. Is it the same situation for soccer? Did they announce anything there?
Pretty much, yeah. They're kind of under the same umbrella. You know, they're considered, as you mentioned, the contact sports, going to the same timeline, and you know, they're allowed to begin practicing and playing as well as football if the governor were to exempt them. If not, they've given the timeline for soccer coaches when they can begin as well.
Gotcha.
Good stuff. Thanks for getting us caught up to speed on all that. That's a lot to take in, but boy, you brought up some really interesting things, and I hope all this happens. I do think we need it, and you bring up some good points about the kids too. I just think they're in a – we've talked about it on the show, Stephen. I just think the four-plus months of really no structure, no schedule, I've seen it. I've seen it in my own house. I've seen it with some of the youth baseball kids that I'm around. It's affected them, and I don't know if going through another semester or fall is going to help them at all. So that, I mean, that's just my personal opinion. So I hope we're able to get all this going. So thanks for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. I mean, one other point just real quick to consider. I mean, obviously the coronavirus is something that's really scary and needs to be taken seriously. But, I mean, the offshoots of not having school, not having sports, when you look at teen depression is on the rise, you know, teen suicide, things like that. I mean, that stems directly from kids are social beings. I mean, like the rest of us, they want to be around their friends, their teammates, their classmates, things like that. So when they're you know, for spend months and months being kind of secluded, there's a mental factor there too, and there's, you know, more than just mental fatigue. It really has a very negative effect on kids, and that's why I'm such a proponent myself for having, you know, cautiously, but having school and having sports come back, because I think it's such a huge positive in kids' lives and everyone's lives.
Well said. Thanks for the visit. Appreciate you doing this.
You bet, guys.
That is Stephen Hargis, Times Free Press down there in Chattanooga. Really good insight that we'll come back and talk about on the other side as we wrap up on the other side. The first hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live here at Bridgestone Arena. Good stuff there from Stephen Hargis, Times Free Press, there in Chattanooga, talking about the TSSAA's plan for high school football in the fall. And I thought there were some really interesting points. We're going to go out to Los Angeles to start the second hour of the program. By the way, it is very good to be – we're going to come back just a second. It is very good to be Mookie Betts, speaking of L.A., I heard this morning on Golic and Wingo that I think it was, what was the number, like $80,000 a day? Mookie Betts, his contract comes out to $80,000 a day.
In a regular,
like, no,
162-game season?
I think it's, yeah, no, every day. I think that's what he gets paid.
Every day of the year.
Every day of the year. He wakes up, $80,000.
Okay. Game or no game.
Right, $79,000 or $80,000.
Okay. I think that
it's not a bad gig.
You can make that work.
You can do house repairs with that. Yeah. You really can.
I think so.
If the AC unit goes out, no big deal. We'll buy a new house.
You're good for it.
Or a unit, whatever.
Wow.
That is, wow. I mean, he's earned it. Good for him. Wow. That's just when I heard that. Do you know, Elijah, what I'm talking about? Because I think you're running the board. Did you hear what they said on there about what Mookie Betts makes a day?
Oh, when he wakes up? It's like an instant 79K the minute he steps out of bed.
And that's every day of the year, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Not bad.
Go look at the math this morning.
Okay.
How about that?
Not bad.
79,000. So I was off by 1,000. So it's not 80. It's 79,000 a day, every day. So you wake up, 79,000 in your account. Next day you wake up, 79 more thousand. Not bad.
Wow.
Gosh. Could you imagine? Holy cow.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I could only imagine. Oof. But anyway, I digress. We are going to go out to L.A. at 11 o'clock. So what stood out to you with Stephen Hargis?
You can sense the enthusiasm of people here who just – they love not only the game of football, but just everything that high school football brings to our state. You know, you know the enthusiasm is there. And the desire is there. There has to be your conscience, right? And I put myself in the shoes of Governor Lee, right? He's feeling that push, right? There's no question about it. We want to play. But he does have to listen. And I hope he's got somebody on his staff that is really saying, okay, you have got to think about this before you say green light. I do think it's very wise to buy as much time as you can for us to continue to try to find new ways to deal with it, try to get people's habits to change as much as possible. Because as we know, these last few weeks, we've hit the skids. We have regressed.
Well, we know that because that's why we're no longer strongly suggesting. We're saying,
and I think that's got to be part of it.
We got to wear a mask.
I would like to see him come out a little more with that type of message. I know how much you guys want to play, but we've got to wear the masks. We've got to do everything. We've got to get this case load down. You can't go have parties at the bars and everything. And you know, everybody. I don't know about everybody. Definitely a lot of people, and I would put him in that class. Governor Lee is Mr. Nice Guy a little bit, right? Hey, we're relying on our citizens to do the right thing.
Yeah,
I know. Sometimes you got to have a little bit more of a hard line.
Got to have a little bit more structure sometimes.
If you want these things, if you want to have mom and pop's restaurant open for business in some form.
On Friday nights,
and we want to have a game going on there, this is what you have to do. Put it in those terms. And I think maybe you'd get a better reaction. It's a little incentivizing. And it just can't be I hope everybody does the right thing. I would like to see everybody be thinking how all of this fits together, because I feel like it hasn't been put in those terms that much. And it's not like the world revolves around sports, but I do know for a ton of people, and I'm really thinking about the outer communities, you know, those small towns. I mean, over the years, we've had a chance to go to high school football games, and it's been several years since I've done it on a regular basis, but you know, I've been to Portland, I've been to Hendersonville, I've been to Gallatin, you know, I've been to a lot of these places where if there's a game on Friday night, that's where everybody is. That's what everybody's doing. And it's hard to comprehend that not happening. But if we're not going to do it right, we can't do it. Right? That's the dilemma. So that is part of it. And you heard Stephen say that they've unveiled, I guess what he said, like a 14-point plan of how you would do this. Like, you do have to consider things like how many people do you let in there? We know it's standing room only at a lot of these places, right? There's no seats available. There's people standing all around the fence to watch some of these games. What do you do with the band? And, you know, do they have to separate? I think that's probably smart, right? So it will have to be different if we want to have it. But I think it's time to really lock in on that vision of how we want it to look, how it's got to be if we're going to do it. And all that being said, I like the idea of buying a little time. I'm willing to sacrifice a couple of weeks so that we can do it right. So the push to override the, you know, make the football exempt, I don't know if I would be for that. You know, a lot of people around the country, they don't even come back to school until after Labor Day. We start early down here,
yep.
You know. So why not? I don't know. We haven't even talked about this. Why aren't we considering just starting after Labor Day and pushing the end of school back? Is there something wrong with that, to buy a little more time?
When you say that, buy a little bit more time to figure out what?
Just get people's habits to change. Get people – we're that much closer to maybe having a vaccine and a treatment that can make it.
We can't rely on a vaccine. I mean, if that's your game plan.
If you've been watching the news, there is some very encouraging stuff on
vaccines. You're waiting on a vaccine.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad game plan.
Well,
like, you can't worry about – you can't control that. That's completely out of your control. You got to worry about your world. You can't worry about the lab's world. That's what they're trying to figure out.
And I get
that's
it.
Just if that is your whole thing, it's just like people would say, "Hey, you know, my marketing plan is just win." Oh, well, that's great. If that's your marketing plan, then you suck at your job. Like, of course, it's easy to sell when you win.
I know.
You have to create something without that. Element,
okay.
Because you can't rely on that.
All right, hear me
just
out.
Just like
this.
You can't rely on the vaccine.
Hear me out on this, though. I have been watching, and there seems to be some big progress being made on a vaccine. But as I agree with you. You can't count your chickens before they hatch, right? At any time, they can say, well, we thought we had it. It's not happening. It's going to be a while. So we can be optimistic, all of that. But in the whole buying time, do you think, I don't know the answer to this. I hope I know the answer. Do you think there's more people wearing masks now than there were 2 weeks ago,
yes.
3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago?
Yes.
So that's part of where I'm going.
In my
right?
in my dealings, yes.
Yeah.
My answer is yes.
And so with every passing week, I think more and more people get with the program. You know, it's slower than we want, right? We want every day to everybody wake up and say, ah, you know what? They're right. There's some people that are not going to get on board until they're absolutely forced to do so, which is, I think, the next thing that's got to happen across the country. We just got to make the mask mandatory and be done with it.
Willie, why are we still having this discussion?
I don't know, but this is
silly.
It's connected to what we're talking about.
Yeah.
If we want to have the sports, if we want to have as minimal risk as we can for college football, for high school soccer, this is what we have to do. To accomplish that, and you can place any number of things in place of sports, and have the same thing that you conclude. In order to do X, my favorite thing, things that I want to see happen, this is what we have to do. So I think buying time will get us better. I mean, would give us a better chance of pulling that off. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the delay.
I don't have a problem
and
with
then,
that.
And then after the delay, we just got to go. Because I'm not going to be a hypocrite about it, right? I'm Mr. Safety. I'm always I am more cautious than many that I'm around. But hey, I'm making no bones about it. I want to play. You know, I'm okay with playing.
Look,
and I think the people that are around that are at risk, the vulnerable people, the grandparents, the parents who have help, they've got to know that, right? And they got to know when their grandson comes home and he's been playing football that there is a risk. Mm-hmm. And that is important to make sure everybody knows that, right? Because that's the real risk. That's the bigger risk is that Big Jimmy, the offensive tackle, is carrying the virus, doesn't know it, feels fine, playing great. Team's winning, comes home, but grandma and grandpa get exposed and then they get sick. That could be the sad story, and that will happen if – that's what's holding it back, I think, as much as anything else. Don't you think?
Look, what I think –
that's the biggest thing I struggle with.
I struggle with a lot of things because You know, all these things are in play, and I keep bringing this stuff up. Why have certain things not missed a beat, but others, it's like, oh, we just need more time. Well, it's like we deem the things that haven't missed a beat, yet they've been open this whole time, and they've been functioning this whole time, and we're like, well, do we look at them and say, well, how have you made this work? How did you not need more time? Oh, well, we needed that stuff, so it was okay. So they figured it out. Does that mean they were smarter than everybody else? No, it doesn't. You know, we have a question. Well, people have gone to work. By the way, for people that, you know, want to kick and scream and buck the system, you think everybody who's working that has to wear a mask in all those places you go in and frequent that they have to wear a mask, you think all of them were on board? You think all of them said, man, I cannot wait to go to work today and wear a mask all day? You really? Yeah. You think everybody was on? No. Guess what? They just had to. If they wanted their job and they wanted to work, that's what they had to do. So just think about that for a minute. Every time you go into a grocery store, wherever you go in and you frequent, you see all the employees that are there all wearing a mask. Just remember that I guarantee you, they all didn't wake up the day they had to start doing that. Man, this is awesome. This is exciting. I get to wear a mask all day at work. And we're just pumped to go to work. You know what? I guarantee you some of them were like, man, really? It's uncomfortable. I can't breathe. Everything everybody has said, it's uncomfortable. I can't breathe. Oh, after a while it does this. Now my chin's got a strap mark, whatever. Whatever they come up with. You don't think that hasn't played out? Well, guess what? Yeah, I guarantee you it has. But they go to work every day and they do it because that's what they have to do. Just like that's what you should have to do in short bursts. Whatever you do. When you go into a public place, that's what you need to do. Like, I'll give it to Chase while he's on vacation. When you were gone, we had a very spirited, you just made the list that Friday when you were out. And Chase really just, like, exploded at all this stuff. And now I think, you know, for him, he's out a little bit more than us, I would say, Willie, because he's younger.
Yeah.
Like, we're out in a different capacity, right? We got kids, and so it's more around sports and a little bit different. He's more out. He's younger, and you know, they're every once in a while they're going out and frequent stuff. They go out to the bars or whatever, and so he's doing a little bit. So he's seen a lot of this, maybe that we don't see. He really exploded on all this, and now that he's done it, and now that we are where we are. Remember, that was a couple of weeks ago.
Well, he's much more apt to be
saying,
in the areas
it's
where
enough
it's
is enough.
It's
yes,
the crowd
yes.
is not paying no. attention. The younger people,
younger crowd, right?
Not
the
paying
crowd.
Attention, yeah. not with it, not really realizing the big picture. That's who he sees more than we see. Directly.
And he basically just exploded and said, "You know, enough is enough." It's like, just wear them and just be stop it. Just enough is enough.
They have to be forced.
If you want to do it, right? They have. That's
they
exactly
have
right.
To be
that's
forced.
The point. And
it
I'm
has
saying,
to be a rule.
Kudos to him because he's right. Is in the end, that's where we are now. To most are now we're at that point too. It's like, you know, enough of, like, I'm tired of having this discussion. Just figure it out. Okay. I've said on this show, I've worn a mask the whole time when we do what, and I don't enjoy it. I don't want to do it. I never thought in my lifetime I was going to have to do it, but I do it.
Yeah.
Because that's the right thing to do.
Well, let me put it, need to do. Let me
and
give
so
you
that's
another,
why we do it.
Here's another lesson.
You think my 8-year-old son wants to wear a mask?
When
we make
not.
Him put it on, he's like, really? And I'm like, we're like, yeah. He doesn't want to wear them. He could care less.
I'll give you another one. Something that I learned in college. It had nothing to do with, what the professor was saying. But, okay, Vanderbilt plays Tennessee in Knoxville. Buses back after the game, gets back midnight, 12:30. Donick's got an 8 a.m. class the next morning. Scenario A is, hey, guys, we really recommend that you go to class tomorrow.
Not even strongly suggest, they just recommend?
We recommend that you go to class. You know, there's two ways to do it. We recommend that you go to class. Am I going to class the next day?
No, you're not.
Heck no.
No.
Here's scenario two. Just be aware that the coaches are going to be checking the rooms to see who's in class tomorrow morning. They'll be checking to see if you're in class.
Guess where you're going to be now, all of a sudden.
My butt is up.
In class.
In the class at 8 o'clock. If it's left up to me,
you're not going.
I'm not doing it.
Nope.
if I know that there are consequences, that, or at least the threat of consequences.
Amazingly,
right?
You're in class.
Even if they don't actually go check to see, just the threat and the thought of I get caught and now I'm running for I don't know how long before practice, after practice, that makes a huge impact. So now, is there somebody that's still going to challenge it? And, you know, maybe there's somebody on my team still says, you know what? He's not. He's bluffing.
He's
going to bed the same time I am. He's not getting up and checking my class at 8 o'clock. There's no way. So he might push it. Now, that will be the case with the mask rule, right? But we've got to make the rule because a lot of people will get on board and say, well, you know, it's a rule. I've got to do it. And there'll be people that test it, and there's got to be an accompanying enforcement. There's got to be consequence. You got to ticket people. You got to say, hey, man, you're not wearing your mask. It's like the seatbelt thing didn't happen overnight. When we were growing up, did we have to wear seatbelts?
Nope.
No. No. I rode plenty of times. I never had a car seat.
Nope.
I was in the front seat with my dad. No seatbelt. We're driving everywhere. You know what? Eventually they made the rule. I don't think it happened overnight that we started.
And I'm sure we weren't happy about
now,
it.
Now, as soon as you get in a car, when you sit down in the seat,
you know,
you're reaching for the seatbelt. It's just your
habit.
Brain does it. Yeah. It will happen with masks if we just do it. And it takes time. So the quicker you do it, the quicker you will change people's habits. And that's why I'm saying the more time we can buy to start a season so we can minimize risk, I'm for that.
That's a great example, by the way, the seatbelt one. That's great. Because you know when that first came out, like, you have to. It's the law now. Baloney.
Whatever.
I've been driving my whole life. I don't want a seatbelt.
You can't tell me to wear a seatbelt.
You can't make me wear a seatbelt.
Yeah. If I wreck,
this
that's
is my car.
Yeah.
You can't tell me to do that. You what? Know that was the attitude of most.
Of course.
And of like course. You said, now you just, what do? You get in, you shut the door, and the first thing you do.
It's a habit.
You reach for it.
It's just changing people's habits.
Nate, what's up?
What's up, guys? I know this is kind of off topic, not really, because it is about high school football, but we all were talking about yesterday how they might not do the concession stands. I don't know if y'all saw that Ricky put on Twitter that, do you think the high schools, if we played high school football this year and didn't do the concession stands, would think about working with food trucks around the city to bring them in? Because I'd go to a high school game just to eat at the food truck.
Well, but what's the difference? You're going to stand in line for a food truck just like you stand in line at a concession stand. So what are you proving? What are you accomplishing?
Well, I mean, I know that's not really different, but you're not putting the high school people at risk, I guess you could say.
Well, it's on their property.
Well, but here's what I would think would be different. This is what pops into my mind. With the food truck, it's the people that own the business, run the business, that are in there preparing the food, serving you the food. A lot of times the concession stand is manned by students, parents, people who are not really skilled in preparing food, serving food the way it's got to be served safely. You know what I mean?
And the food truck will be more willing to, I would think. But I don't know that the schools would want to allow that because they may not make money off of it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't
that's
know
another thing. Yeah. The whole point is to make money off of concession stands. So, Nate, thank you for the call. Good stuff. We unfortunately have to go to LA. So, we'll come back on the other side. We'll go out west. We do that next on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.